order. And the first bill on the agenda is House File 413. And the chair will move that we consider this for possible consideration for possible inclusion in the division report. Representative Fritz.
Yes, good morning, Chairman.
Good morning. Welcome
members.
To the committee.
Thank you.
Proceed.
Thank you. I am Representative Patty Fritz from Faribault, Minnesota, and I have the bill today, House File 413, asking for an exemption for the MMPA, who respectfully request the passage of this exemption for the power plant down in Faribault, Minnesota, on the property tax. The exemption, the precedent for this legislation is evidenced by the fact that all power plants built in the state since 1994 have received this exemption, and also the city of Faribault supports this legislation. And I might also add that I have visited the site a couple of times. The last time was right before Christmas, and this was a very good feeling to see smiles on the faces of the workers. This has been a big boon for us down there economically in jobs, good paying jobs. And today I have two testifiers with me on the bill, and they are Tim Hunstead, to my right, from the MMPA, and Dick Anfang from the Building and Trades. With that, I'll let them speak.
Good morning. My name is Tim Hunstead. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Municipal Power Agency to urge you to support House Bill 413. The Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, or MMPA, is a joint powers subdivision of the state of Minnesota. It was formed in 1992 to supply wholesale power to Minnesota cities. Today, the agency is composed of 10 cities, including Anoka, Arlington, Brownton, Chaska, East Grand Forks, Le Sueur, North St. Paul, Olivia, Shakopee, and Winthrop. This represents an estimated population of over 92,000. The MMPA is currently constructing a natural gas-fired electric facility in Faribault, Minnesota. The facility is designed as a 250-megawatt combined cycle facility that will be built in two phases. Phase one is for 150 megawatts to operate in simple cycle for peaking power purposes. Construction began in July of 2004 and will be complete in June of 2005. Phase two, which is the addition of 100 megawatts, will be added in the near future. The addition of the second phase will bring the facility to its designed 250 megawatts of high-efficiency power generation. Once at this high level of efficiency, the facility will be eligible for the existing statutory exemption for personal property taxes. MMPA decided to phase the construction of the project in order to accelerate getting 150 megawatts of capacity available for the June through October summer season. This was done to aid another Minnesota utility, which will be short of capacity for that summer season. In the simple cycle phase, the facility will not have the high efficiency statutory exemption. The MMPA is requesting an exemption from personal property taxes during this simple cycle phase of operations. On behalf of the Minnesota communities served by MMPA, we respectfully request your support for this legislation. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dick Anfang. I'm the president of the Minnesota Building and Construction Trades Council, representing approximately 70,000 union construction.
Excuse me, Mr. Anfang. Did you have a question, Representative Abel?
Well, more of a statement, Mr. Chairman. This whole hearing really is unnecessary. You know, for years we have heard bill after bill after bill dealing with exemption, personal property exemption for the electric generating facilities that meet certain criteria. And the House, on a number of occasions, has passed overall legislation, and the problem is the Senate. So as much as I like all the people in the room, all the lobbyists, all the members who've come down with their local bills, wouldn't it be much nicer if we can just have one simple law so that all this would be unnecessary? So I can probably talk to my good friend Dick Anfang about the precedent for it. I understand and appreciate what happened, and frankly, Mr. Anfang, I think that people in construction trades were lied to by a company that I believe is no longer in business. But maybe we can figure out a solution to all this so that we don't have to have members all revved up and people who have a lot better things to do and come down and testify, come up with basically the same bill, and have a room full of lobbyists taking a look at the same issue year after year after year. Just a statement, just some frustration. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to try it again, Dick, if you guys are. But there's some history, and it's just too bad that we have to go through this again.
Mr. Anfang.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Abrams. Thank you for your comments, and the Minnesota Building Trade stands ready to cooperate in that endeavor. However, we are faced with what we're faced with today. And I understand that problem, and in this testimony on this bill, I would like to also state that incorporate the other three bills to save some time for today. The the building trades is very happy to have worked with this company and this power producer. This need for increased energy has helped us in terms of man hours of work, and we appreciate it very much. And we believe we're doing a very good job, and the product at the end of the day will serve the public very well. So we encourage you to support this project and its personal property tax exemption. And as I previously indicated, Representative Abrams, there are three other bills before you today. We have also established very good cooperation with the other three, with commitments to hire workers that are paid the negotiated wage in the area and provide good wages and benefits throughout the state where these power plants are being built. So appreciate your time, and again, we'll look forward to the conversation, Representative Abrams.
Thank you, Mr. Anfang. Maybe Ms. Baker can answer a question I have. The revenue analysis detail says that the bill will increase the state paid homeowner property tax refunds by about $13,000. If the facility is making a payment in lieu of taxes, how does that? Is that because it's not reflected in property tax, or why would the property tax then be shifted, as it says in this analysis, to the homeowner?
I'm not sure why. I do know the only SBA that is currently making in repayment is SIMPA, that's over Sherburn County. And I got some information from a Department of Revenue employee, and that's obviously a very, very large plant. It's, it's part of Sherburn. It's like a $200 million plant, and it's it's like a $7 million property tax. And what they do is really not what is in, what I would say, in the statute under that 453 that we've mentioned in our bill summary. You can see on the back of page 3, there's a note here that talks about that MTAs are done a little bit differently. This law was created back in, it was like 76 or 73 or something like that, when MTAs were granted authorization to form these joint municipal power agencies. And these in-lieu payments, the way Sherburn County is doing it, is they are taking the tax base of SIPA and having it part of the tax base that they can do taxes on. So it's not like an in-lieu payment that says, you know, we will compute the property taxes as if it doesn't exist and then put some kind of tax rate on that property. They just include that property. And I think the reason they probably do it is because that value is so large that if that value wasn't part of their property tax base, you can imagine what their property tax, you know, I think the levy just, it wouldn't make any sense. And I think that that is such an exception. So, and that's the only example that we have of where an MCA is really paying this in-lieu payment. And I don't know if anybody from the department, you know,
Mr. Chairman, Marie Zimmerman, House Fiscal Staff. The reason why there's still a PTR impact is because the in-lieu payment is only for the city portion of the tax. So the in-lieu payment is just for the city portion of the tax. So there would still be county, school district, special taxing district shifting onto other properties.
Okay, thank you. Representative Brad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Engfeng, for your testimony. I just wanted to be clear. You are supporting the generation exemptions, and you would be supporting them across the board, not just for projects that are using union employees?
To maybe more clearly state my position, the bills that are before you today and the companies that are proposing are going to build the power plants, we have had discussions, and they have three of the four have agreed to pay the negotiated wage and use union people. The fourth one, we're working in very good faith, and we believe we're going to get there. It's a matter of time. And therefore, the fact that the negotiated wage is a livable wage and is going to add to the vitality of the community and the state through the jobs created, we are therefore supporting.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions? Okay, then the chair will lay over House File 413 for possible inclusion in the division report.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, members.
Thank you. The next bill on the agenda, we're taking them a little out of order, members, is House File 1080, Representative Eastland. Representative Eastland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I'm here today to discuss or recommend that House File 1080, I don't know if you make a motion first or not, what will you do with it, but to talk a little bit about House File 1080, which is, I guess, appearing kind of in about four different situations, the same request. And so I don't want to belabor the committee. I think the issue is that we have electrical generation issues in our state that we're trying to address. Many of the small co-ops around the state are looking at ways that they can increase their peaking capacities, and our area is no different than anyone else. And so House File 1080 basically is a request for an exemption for some sales tax on equipment. And I have Rick Lancaster, who is the Vice President of Corporate Services at Great River Energy, here to explain anything about the bill if we need to go that far. But it's at your discretion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Eastland. Continue.
Mr. Chair, my name is Rick Lancaster. I'm Vice President of Corporate Services with Great River Energy. I've got a computer presentation to put on the screen here. Are there buttons I need to press to get it to do that, or should I go right ahead?
Okay.
There it is. Okay, thank you. As Representative Eastland said, we're a cooperative. Our headquarters is in Elk River. We provide generation for the 28 distribution cooperatives that are shown on this map. They cover 62% of the geography of Minnesota and part of northwestern Wisconsin. We serve 560,000 homes and businesses, and we think about 1.5 million people live in the homes that we serve. This is a graph of our generating capability. That's the vertical bars there. And our projected demand from our members, that's the blue line that goes up over time. As you can see, we will be deficit in 2007 unless we do something, and that means we won't have enough generating capacity to serve the needs of our members. We have a need for about 170 megawatts of peaking capacity in 2007. A megawatt is enough for about 500 central air conditioners, so this plant would be enough for about 85,000 central air conditioners. We'll need another plant of the same size in 2009, and then baseload capacity by 2012. Why a peaking plant? This is called a natural gas-fired peaking plant. It's designed to serve peak demand on our system. We do not store electricity. We generate it simultaneously as it is used. We only plan to operate this plant about 10% of the time, which would be on hottest summer days, coldest winter days, and during what we call system emergencies, which is when another plant is not available or a transmission line is down. This graph here illustrates that point. It shows we have about 1,200 megawatts of base demand that's there year-round, but in the summer months, which you see in the box in the middle of the graph, our demand fluctuates widely. It can increase by 1,200 megawatts in a matter of a day if a day is really hot, and then it goes back down again by approximately the same amount if a cold front comes through. So this type of plant is the type of plant that's built to serve those summer days where we have very fast peak demands that come up on our system. Why Cambridge? It's an existing site. There's natural gas lines nearby. There's good transmission in the area. We would not need to increase the voltage on the transmission system, although we would need to rebuild some lines in order to make them more reliable. There is local government support for the personal property tax exemption that's included in the bill. There are benefits to the local area in Isanti County in the form of improved power reliability, increased jobs. There'll be about 100 skilled craft workers for about a year working on the project, 2 to 3 skilled full-time operators. We are seeking the personal property tax exemption, just as the bill before us was on the attached machinery. Even with the exemption, we will pay an estimated $350,000 per year to Isanti County and to the local communities in the real property tax and the personal property tax on the transmission facilities. This is located near Highway 65 north of Cambridge. It's about an $80 million project. We'd like to start construction in May of 2006. Here's a photograph of the existing combustion turbine at the site. This is a close-up photograph from within the plant yard. This is an oil-fired 20-megawatt peaking plant. Here's an artist's rendition of the proposed plant from 347th Avenue. So in conclusion, our request is that we'd like to build this plant within our member service territory in Minnesota. Like every other new plant, we need a personal property tax exemption. This is a tax that neighboring states do not impose. We would still pay property tax on the land and the buildings and the transmission line improvements, and there would be additional revenue to the community of $350,000 per year, even with the exemption. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Representative Eastland, do you have an amendment? I understand there is one here. Karen or Ms. Baker, would you explain it, please?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative Vandiver, what I just gave Representative Vandiver is just a one word change, and that is on page 2, line 6, the reference is to July, and in the property tax world, we always talk about January assessments, and so it's just changing July to January. And I see that your construction date, you're talking May 2006, so, you know, from that standpoint, it doesn't make any difference, but I think it makes sense to work from assessment date. So it's just to change that July to January.
Mr. Chair, that is a friendly amendment, and we certainly accept that.
Okay. So the chair will move an oral amendment to House File 1080 on page 2, line 6. Delete July and insert January. Any discussion? All in favor of the amendments, say aye.
Aye.
The amendments adopted. Is there anyone here to testify, anyone else for or against the bill? House File 1080. Members have any other questions? Seeing none, the chair will lay over House File 1080 for possible inclusion, as amended, for possible inclusion in the division report.
Thank you, committee, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Okay, the next bill, members, House Files 578, Representative Dempsey, and the chair will move House File 578 for consideration for possible inclusion in the division report. Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Appreciate the opportunity of being here today. We are proposing a piece of legislation very similar to what has been transpiring by previous presenters this morning. I would, first of all, in regard to House File number 578, there is an amendment, and I am hopeful that all of the members of the committee have that amendment. I would like to, Mr. Chairman, move Amendment H0578A1, and that would put the bill into its proper order.
Thank you, Representative Dempsey. Representative Nelson, would you care to move the H0578 amendment? Thank you. Representative Nelson moves the H0578A1 amendment. Representative Dempsey, this is to get the bill in the shape you want it in.
That is correct.
Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment's adopted. Proceed, Representative Dempsey.
Okay, thank you very much. The function of this piece of legislation has to do with reducing the taxes that befall on a new peaking plant for electrical uses. And I have before the committee, to my right, is Paul D. Cassidy, who will explain to you the essence of the bill.
Mr. Cassidy, state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Paul Cassidy. I'm with the law firm of Leonard Street and Dinard, and I'm here on behalf of Invenergy LLC, the developer of this project, and here in support of House File 578. Invenergy is based in Chicago and currently owns over 300 megawatts of power, and approximately 200,000 megawatts of power is currently under development. The Cannon Falls energy project being proposed is a 290-megawatt natural gas facility is to be built and located in the Cannon Falls Industrial Park. The facility will cost approximately $95 million to construct and will provide about 200 construction jobs during the construction period. To assist in making the Cannon Falls Energy Project financially feasible and viable, we're before you're committed today to request a personal property tax exemption on the electric generation portion of the facility. The cost of the generation equipment is estimated at $93 million. Once complete, the facility, the peaking plant, will be operational between 5 and 20% of the time and primarily used during very hot and very cold parts of the season. The facility will be operated by 3 to 5 skilled energy technicians. The proposed facility is a very clean and quiet operation that will hardly be noticeable and by passersby and will be considered a minor source of emissions by the United States EPA. That, Mr. Chairman, I think I passed around a fact sheet on the project, and I'd be welcome to take any comments or questions. And also I have with me today in support of the legislation Mayor Lynn Berg of Cannon Falls. I'd like to make a few comments.
Certainly.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, Carl Hochmuth is also with me today, and he is from our city council. And we are here representing...
Mayor, could you state your name for the table?
I'm sorry. My name is Lynn Berg.
Welcome to the committee, Mayor.
Thank you. We are representing the city of Cannon Falls, and we are in favor of the bill, and we are currently working with the county and the school district, starting with meetings tomorrow on the process.
Thank you. And did you have someone else? Any questions for them?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would just like to emphasize that one of the other important aspects of this piece of legislation is giving an incentive for a business to construct a $95 million structure. That simply means those are good-paying jobs that are being created because of this particular piece of construction. So jobs are important aspects to everybody, and those people also are taxpayers in the state of Minnesota. So it is beneficial that where we can provide jobs for our working people, I think that's rather noble. So this piece of legislation will have a part in seeing that to come to fruition. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, thank you, Representative Dempsey. What does the amendment have any effect on the revenue estimate? Do you know, or I think we're kind of checking with staff right now. Mr. Cassidy?
Mr. Chairman, it does not have any effect on the revenue estimate. However, there will be a host agreement hopefully executed between the various parties, which will be a payment in lieu of personal property taxes. That's currently being under consideration by all the parties.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience care to testify for or against House File 578? Members have any questions? Seeing none, the chair will lay over House File 78 for possible as amended. For possible inclusion in the division report. Thank you, Representative Dempsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Representative Beard. Representative Brad, would you like to move that House File 600 to get it before the committee for possible inclusion in the division report?
So moved.
Thank you. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. House File 600 is virtually identical to a bill that passed the tax committee last year and was included in the final tax committee bill, which, of course, I don't think passed off the floor. So we're going to, of course, have to do it again this year. I do, however, Mr. Chairman, have a author's amendment titled 600A1 that I'd like to...
Representative Beard, I think it did pass off the House floor. It was...
You know, you're right, it did.
Senate that had all the problems.
Continue. I was being kind, Mr. Chairman.
I have an author's amendment, 600A1, Mr. Chair. If someone could move that for me to put it in the shape that House Research suggested.
Okay. Representative Marquardt, would you move the H.O. 600A1 amendment?
Mr. Chair, I move the A1 amendment.
Thank you. Representative Marquardt, any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of adoption of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Amendment's adopted. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Folks, I'm very familiar with this peaking plant expansion that Xcel Energy is undertaking because I presented this bill last year and because I live 2 miles from the plant. There currently are three about 50-megawatt oil-burning peaking generators there. I hear them and I smell them every time they fire them up, usually on the hottest days of the year. Most of the folks in our town are very grateful that Xcel is expanding the plant with 260-megawatt, roughly, gas turbines. They're quieter, they're cleaner, and they are very necessary for keeping the grid at the proper levels in the Southwest Metro area. The agreements with the host city and county have been executed. Just in the interest of full disclosure, they are being renegotiated because the plant did come in substantially under budget. And although I encouraged my friends at Xcel just to let the county and the city benefit from the extra money, apparently the PUC took a dim view of that and did insist that the host community agreements be renegotiated. I'm confident that those will be satisfactorily completed. With that, I have an expert witness in the audience if anybody has compelling questions about the project. Otherwise, members, I just urge your repassage of this bill.
Well, Representative Beard, you're on regulated industries.
Oh, yes, sir.
This is a lot of gas we're putting through here today. Is that maybe not a tax question, but is that the brightest thing we could do?
Oh, my. Mr. Chairman, you're touching on one of my phobias. I'd prefer not to get into it, but it's... I would ask to defer that to a regulated industries meeting, if I may.
Certainly the windmills aren't quite doing it. Anyone in the audience care to testify for or against House File 600? The members have any questions? Seeing none, the chair will lay over House File 600 for possible inclusion in the division report as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members.
Representative Abrams, we tried to make that as painless as possible. Representative Lincheski, would you move adoption of the minutes from the March 2nd meeting? So Representative Lincheski moves adoption of the March 2nd minutes. Any discussion, additions, changes? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the March 2nd, 2005 minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Anyone else have anything? Don't go there. Seeing none, members, we'll adjourn early and have recess.